Give a person a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. I know it's cliche, and I know it's probably overused, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. Frankly, the easiest thing to do, if you will, is to give somebody a fish and then move on. But what are they going to do the next day or the day after that? But when you take the time and the effort and the resources and you teach them how to fish, now you've changed their life and you've changed the trajectory of generations to come. To me, this is the difference between a hand out and a hand up. A hand out is a dependency model. You drop in, you do a little bit of good, and then you move on. But a hand up means you're committed for the long haul. You're going to walk alongside so that you change their future and future generations. Hope Chest Ministries, I believe, is a hand up, not a hand out. They have the long term in mind of being with a community so that it is self-sustaining at some point in time. A hand up, not a hand out. We've been talking about that we are blessed to be a blessing. That looking at all the blessings that God has given to us, that wells up inside of us and we respond to that and we want to be a blessing to someone else. Well, this Sunday, this morning, we have an opportunity to put that into action if you so choose to be a blessing to a child down in La Quechua, Guatemala. To walk alongside of them, to be a friendship partner with them, to change their life and to change the generations to come. But before we get too involved in Hope Chest Ministry, we'll talk to Ken in just a few minutes. I believe that it's important that we review the biblical principles for giving, any giving, whether we're giving here in church, whether we're giving to Hope Chest Ministry, or we're giving to some other organization. I believe that God's Word has a lot to say about that. So we're going to go to Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. Now, Paul is involved in a collection among the churches to support the impoverished believers in and around Jerusalem. So he's going to all of his churches making this collection. And I believe that he sort of pulls out for us three biblical principles in giving. The first one is it's given in response, it's given in joy, and it's given with confidence. It's given in response. If you were with us last week, I spent quite a bit of time about how we respond to what God has done for us. In other words, that we are blessed. And we took a look at our blessings, and that wells up inside of us. And the result of that is that we want to be a blessing to someone else. Well, St. Paul does the same thing in talking to the church at Corinth. He puts it this way in verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed. That's Paul's way of saying, God, who has provided for all of your needs and will continue to provide for all of your needs, now you can provide for the needs of others. So we are blessed. We are greatly blessed. Last week we looked at we're blessed in tangible ways. Right? So it's the car you drove in this morning. It's the house you live in, the clothes that you wear. God gave you the skills, the ability to earn a living so that you could purchase all these nice things. There's tangible blessings that you have. There's intangible blessings like family and friends and experiences in life, things you can't put a price tag on. But God has blessed you in that way with those relationships and with those experiences. And then, of course, the most important is the spiritual blessings. The fact that God would turn sinners into saints, that he sent his son to live among us, that Jesus would live the life that we can't, and he would die the death that we deserved, that through his blood, we are set free. We're set free from our sins, we're set free from guilt and regret, and we have a new life in him. That means that we want to respond to him. So having all these blessings showered upon us, we want to be a blessing. We want to touch another life. We want to share with them the same love that God has for us. So whenever we're giving, no matter what it is, we want to make sure that we give in response to what God has done for us. And then when we give, we want to give with joy. If there's no joy, there's no gift. That is, there is not a gift that is pleasing to God. Anything that's done out of guilt, anything that's done out of coercion, anything that's done out of obligation, that's not a gift which is pleasing to God. You all have probably heard me say this before. I'll say it again. If the time of the offering happens in the service and the plate comes by and you go, well, I guess I better, then don't. Then I'm serious about that. If it's like, well, I have to, or I suppose I should. No. We give with joy in our heart, right? St. Paul put it this way, verse 7. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. We don't give reluctantly. We don't give under compulsion. We're not forced to do it. When we give, we should give with joy in our hearts. When we give, it should be a voluntary thing. Paul, in the same letter, talks about the Macedonian Christians and their eagerness to take part in this collection, that it surpassed his expectations. He talks about the generosity of those at Corinth, right? They're eagerly wanting to take part in this so that they can give with joy. When you give of your hard-earned income, that should warm your heart. You should feel good about that. And it's something that you take great joy in. So when you give with joy. And then finally, give with confidence. Give with confidence that it's going to make the maximum impact and that it's going to be very, very well cared for. This is a surprise to me. I had not caught this before in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, but he actually addresses this, that when you give, he wants to instill in them confidence that it's actually going to do what he's collecting it for, that it's actually going to make it to the saints around Jerusalem, right? So it comes down to this. It comes down to trusted personnel and process, right? So in chapter 8 of the letter, he talks about personnel first. So he talks about the fact he's sending Titus to them. Titus was known to the church at Corinth, a trusted individual. Then he talks about another individual, and he wants to sort of give them credentials as well. He says, now this guy is well known. He's a great preacher throughout this whole region. But yeah, who cares about that, right? Verse 19, he says this, and not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace. Did you notice that? Paul didn't choose him. The churches got together and said, we're going to send this delegation with you to oversee the whole operation, to give it credibility, to give it integrity, right? In fact, St. Paul says as much. Look at verse 20. We take this course so that no one should blame us about the generous gift that is being administered by us. In other words, they want to appear blameless in this whole collection and distribution of the gift, right? The utmost integrity with it, right? To give trust to the people at Corinth. So he goes on to say, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. So that as we look at it, that we can give with confidence. Anytime that you give of your hard-earned money, you want to give with confidence. You give in response, you give with joy, but you want to know. You want to know that it's doing actually what they said it's going to do, that it's very well administered, that there's trusted personnel there. Our partnership with Hope Chest Ministry has been a year in the making just for that fact. A year in the making of being diligent, of looking into the organization, of going to Guatemala, having boots on the ground, meeting the staff that is there, going to La Cachia, seeing the school, meeting the principal, knowing the personnel, and then knowing the process so that we as a church, when we support projects down there, we can give with confidence. So that you, if you so choose to be a friendship partner, can give with confidence. Because when we give, we want to be good stewards. So we give in response to what God has done. We give with joy in our heart. And we want to give to something that we have confidence in. And I believe that Hope Chest Ministry checks off those boxes. And I'd like to invite Ken up as we learn a little bit more about Hope Chest Ministries. So I'm putting him to work. He's got to bring his own stool and mine up with him. By the way, these are the ugliest stools in the world. This morning I asked Joel if he would put a couple stools up here for us, and he came to me. He goes, they're really ugly. And I went, you're right. They're really ugly. So,
but they work.
But they work. So, Ken, great to have you with us. He's president and CEO of Hope Chest Ministries. Let's just begin. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about Hope Chest and the ministry?
Sure, thank you. Well, it's a delight to be here this morning. I left 20 degrees of beautiful, balmy weather in Colorado to come here. So thank you for that. In any event, Hope Chest is a 25-year long organization. We started in 1994. The first 12 years of our existence was aimed at Russia, Russian orphanages, connecting churches to that effort. And then in 2006, in response to HIV/AIDS epidemic in Africa, we started to expand outside of that because we felt God was calling us to continue to minister to the vulnerable orphans and the widows that take care of them. I was in corporate America for 30 plus years, and 6 years ago, God called me into this ministry. And I did not start it, obviously, it started 25 years ago. But we work in 7 countries, and we have 126 care points. So La Cachia is a care point. It's a single location where we identify the most vulnerable children in that community to then come alongside in partnership with people like you, with congregations like yours. And uniquely, or very much uniquely, the fact that you're partnering with 3 other churches here in town is really exciting to us. You're ushering in a really beautiful picture of the kingdom coming together, locking arms, to make an impact in one place. And so Hope Chest helps facilitate that. And Ron's words about doing it with confidence actually is a great challenge for us to maintain continuing that integrity that we hold near and dear to our hearts as an organization. But I had not picked up on that in that verse other. So this has been a great morning for me. I just love hearing this. It's been good stuff.
Well, great. You get to hear it one more time.
I know. And I'm looking forward to it.
So Hope Chest has 3 catchwords that I think really summarize things well, and I'd like you to expand on them. So it's survive, thrive, and then succeed.
That's right. When we enter into a community, we have identified the most vulnerable, and we've identified a location that can act as a care point, and we invite those children that are enrolled in the program into a survive, thrive, succeed model. And it's intentional to help them individually move through these phases. Communities like La Cachia, nutrition is typically one of the most important elements that we help bolster in the early days of the care point. Many of these children are not getting very good nutrition in the food they are getting and what little food they get. It ends up causing stunted growth. If you happen to go and visit, you'll notice that many of the teenagers look like they're like late, 8 or 9 years old because their body has not been given the right nutrition. So the survive mode is where we come in and help supplement the act of feeding them, giving them good nutrition, and some basic health screening to make sure that they're progressing well. Then we move into thrive, which is to make sure that children are enrolled in school, attending school, helping them be successful in school. And then as they get older, bringing vocational capacity into their lives so that they have a way to provide for themselves as they become an adult and have their own families. And then succeed is when the individual child is able to be self-sufficient as a young adult so that they can carry on. But I think what's really interesting, and I love your tagline of blessed to be a blessing, is that they understand and adopt who they are in Christ so that their opportunity to pour back into their own community exists. And so true success is when they show that kind of capacity to care for others in the way that you are now showing capacity to them. So that's the survive, thrive, succeed for a child, but it also extends into the homestead that they live in and then the community around it. So not only do we help the child, but we're helping the guardians of that family to come up with income-generating activities or help them start little businesses so that their homestead or their household economic capacity increases. And then piece by piece in that community, as those homesteads are being affected, the whole community begins to rise up out of the conditions they find themselves in today. And part of the reason they have that in La Cachia is because they're in between 2 different municipalities. And those municipalities have very little social services, but they do not extend into this general area where they are located. And this is a sweet little community of about 500 in La Cachia, and when you go to the care point, you walk down the path and right into the rubber forest. It's literally not even a quarter of a mile away. Most of the people there are agricultural-based. That's how they earn their living, is they work in the rubber plantation or they work in the fields because it's very seasonal work based on what's being grown. So their income and their ability to provide for their family goes up and down, and that survive, thrive, succeed, not only for the child, but for the family is a key component of what you will be engaging as a partner.
So you shared earlier that of 100 kids entering in kindergarten, mm-hmm. only 3 will graduate from high school. Because they get pulled into the plantation for work as long as they have just a minimal education. So we've talked a lot about the surviving and thriving, but what about the spiritual aspect? We want to make sure that they know the Lord.
Absolutely. It is a key component of Hope Chest. We are a Christian organization. Every aspect of our programming, whether we're doing vocational training or business generation or when the children are coming to the program on a daily and a weekly basis, it is all rooted in Scripture. We want to make sure that we are raising up those that understand who they are in Christ, that thus they can make that impact in their own community.
Right. So other organizations call sponsoring a child, you call it a friendship partnership. Could you explain why and what the nuances of that?
Yes, absolutely. We, as an organization for 24 years, adopted somewhat the same approach to sponsorship. That is, we'd come in, share with you the opportunity to partner with the child, and then you'd go outside and you'd select the child's picture. So I have a question for you. How many of you, like me, happen to be in high school PE or maybe middle school, and you were the last one or maybe not even selected for a team, right? I mean, you ever felt that, you know, that rejection of why am I last, right? Or why wasn't I picked? Or I want to be on that team. Anyway, point is, a year and a half ago, we had a very interesting conversation with one of our country directors in Moldova. And he said, hey, can we maybe think about something interesting? Could we maybe switch this process around? And we said, what are you talking about? What it boils down to is this. What we're asking you today to do today is to walk into your fellowship hall and join arms together as a congregation. You, as risen Savior, joining arms together and say, we are, as a community, going to make an impact in La Cachia. And that collective vision, by locking arms, you're saying, we believe in the vision. You're going to go in and you'd sign up to be either sponsoring a child. One individual came to me and said, I'm 92 after this last service, and I would really like to just support it, but I don't want to necessarily sponsor or, you know, be connected to a child. And so you can also support it on a monthly basis to the care point. But more importantly, your opportunity to connect to a child to make an impact in that child's life. And what we're going to do is sign you up, take your picture either individually or as a couple or as a family, and then we're going to take those photographs down to La Cachia, and we're going to have a celebratory launch of the care point in La Cachia, and you're going to be there, right? And several other folks are going to be able to travel down and witness this. The children are going to walk into the room, and they're going to see your photographs, and they're going to choose you. Because we believe at the heart of this, it's about relationships and giving a voice and a choice to the child. I mean, imagine being an impoverished child, and you know, let's do the allegory to the being a middle schooler in PE. You're standing there on the sidelines waiting to be picked, right? But if you have the opportunity to say, I want to be on that team, or I want to be with them, how much more empowering that is for you. Well, think about that in the context of a child in an impoverished community. This may be the very first time in their life they have a voice and a choice. The dignity and the empowerment that you are stepping into by choosing to be a partner, a friendship partner, today will then begin to change their trajectory. And our mission as an organization is to restore hope to those who need it most. And I can tell you, this community is one of those communities where it is needed most. And you have an opportunity to step into that today.
And I would agree with that. I was in La Cachia just a few months ago, and I will be there for the launch, and I'll be shooting some video, which Joel will then make look nice, and I'll I'll share it with you, the excitement of them selecting our family. So just one last thing I'm going to talk about. So normally when we think about mission trips, and we'll have an opportunity in the future to take mission trips down there, we think, well, we're going to go build a house, or we're going to paint a wall, or we're going to do something. Mission trips with Hope Chest are different. Explain the difference.
They are. When you travel with Hope Chest down to Glacachia, you will not be asked to necessarily build a building or paint a wall or dig a ditch, because we want you to be in relationship. We want you to spend time with the children, with their guardians, with the community, hearing their hopes and dreams, being able to build relationship with them. Because if you step back and think about it, why were man and woman created? Why did God create us? It was for relationship with Him and with each other. And so we want to help foster that opportunity for you to connect internationally and really build those relationships for a lifelong opportunity for impact. Again, not dependency long-term, but for relationship. So when you go, you'll participate in things like Bible, maybe a Bible VBS kind of thing, or meeting within the community leaders and talking about their hopes and dreams, or going to a home visit to pray with that family and to get connected to them. And we don't want to take work out of the hands of people there. So, yeah. You know, if we go paint or we go build something, they can do it usually pretty much better than us at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Guatemala. Trust me, it's hot and humid. So why take the work out of their hands for us with our free labor in the guise of helping, and we're actually de-dignifying them and their community when we go do that work that they would otherwise do to earn a fair living.
So last thing is, so if I want to be a friendship partner, what are my obligations? What am I signing up for?
Well, what you're signing up for, first and foremost, is to pray. The power of prayer in the lives of these children and their families is extremely important. Your $45 a month goes to help fund the CarePoint activities, which allow the children to participate in the programming. It helps us do the training for the adults that are caring for these children to change their trajectories as well. Your $45 a month allows us to facilitate letter writing back and forth and pictures and videos and making that relationship live and real for you. So that is what we're asking you to step into. And then the opportunity to go down and travel is an optional opportunity, but I would highly recommend it because you will be changed. I'm sitting here today because in 2011, the church I attend, we were on a trip into Kenya, and I was there to watch, to watch over the administration of the funds that we were investing. That's why I was a business guy. They said, hey, we want you to go and check on all this stuff. And God struck me with a lightning rod on that trip of understanding of what it meant, of the locking arms and making an impact for the kingdom. And so I'm a personal walking testimony to the power of going on those kind of trips. So I encourage it if you can. It's not required to be engaged in this program.
So, and we as a congregation will take on projects at the school, first and foremost a vegetable garden, and then working on a kitchen to get the nutrition up for the kids. So while I think we're pretty much out of time, Ken, thanks for being with us. We're going to end this. They shot a video down there of the school and the kids as a thank you to us. So let's watch that, shall we?
Iglesia Luterana Reichen Savior. Los esperamos.
¡Los esperamos!